Welcome to the Ashley Elaine Podcast, where soul meets strategy, spirit meets systems, and healing becomes your legacy. This is a space for visionaries, healers, builders, my cycle breakers, and leaders who know they're here to create more than just ideas. They're here to build something that will last. We talk about all things from spirituality to healing, public health, to birthing your soul purpose. So whether you're birthing a program, intervention, a business, reimagining your current work, or reclaiming your whole life's rhythm, you are in the right place. Let's begin. Hey, 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 welcome back to the Ashley Elaine Podcast. My name is Love Ashley Elaine, and I'm here to be your guide. Whatever it is you want me to be in this hour, just in this space. This episode, my sister Sia has come and just blessed us with this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful unfolding of what happens when seeds of adversity are planted and how we just continue to transmute and move forward and turn them into how we discover our purpose. So grab your tea, get your things, get comfy, and enjoy this episode. And welcome back to the Ashley Elaine Podcast. I have my sis on here. She's already cutting up. But this is what we do. My sister, Sia. My God. Sia, how long have we known each other?
Oh, how old is Jazz?
He'll be 13 in April.
14 years.
Man. Yeah. That's long.
Yes, that's long.
Like, I have some longtime friendships, but this one definitely hits different. Definitely hits different. She met me at a new time in life. I think I just had Jez. And the way she took me and Jez in as family, as sisters. I mean, I don't even know how we actually met.
Just... And you was pregnant.
Right.
We carried Jazz together.
Yes. she was my Starbucks hookup.
I'm done with you, Ash. You have any more bugs?
And now I don't even step foot in that place as often as I used to.
You used to being spoiled.
But ladies and gentlemen, mostly ladies, because that's what I get a lot of. My sister, Sia Stevens. Welcome, Sia, to the show.
Thank you, sister. Thank you for having me here. It's an honor. For you to have thought of me to bring me on here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. When I was thinking about this series, Stories of Medicine, I think a lot about like our stories beyond like trauma, our stories beyond relationship. I think about stories of the land that we come from, how a lot of like our ancestry, which the land is a part of that, embeds into our being, our self-discovery, all of that, our healing, how we heal, how we show up for ourselves, how we show up for others, and our place in the world, how we go about discovering our place in the world. So I thought of you, and I thought about just how And I think it was very timely too, because we had just reconnected, and
Yeah.
our like it's the most healthiest reconnected disconnect I've ever been a part of. Because it's like, sis, I got kids, you got a kid, you going through your thing, I'm going through my thing. I still love you. Fair, okay. Like, I had to learn a lot about that part of relationship, but you had just got back from Liberia. And when I saw the pictures, I don't think I had reached out, but when I saw the pictures on Facebook, I just, like, my heart, Sia, was so, so full, because that was the one thing out of any and everything, out of, you know, even beyond Victors of Christ, that I remember you always talking about was going back home.
Yes.
And to see that you did it, regardless of whatever, you know, roadblocks or whatever, whatever you needed to move through to be able to get you there, I was just like, I mean, I just smiled as if I was the one that went.
Thank you. No, thank you. It means a lot. It means a lot to hear it coming from somebody like you, who knows my passion, because no one know me and don't know that part of me, that you don't know me, you know? So for you to be paying attention over the years and to have that fullness and sharing in spirit, it means a lot, because not all support is spoken, but regardless what energy is being sent, you feel it.
Yeah.
And I felt that's what I was getting when I posted those pictures. Because for me, it's not how many people like my pictures or my posts. It's who likes it or who comments. So it could be one person. But if that one person knows me and kind of stamp an approval or congratulations, I would take that over 20 other people who doesn't know me. Yeah. So it means a lot coming from you. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm a very much like, okay, I see people ain't liking my posts, but I see them views. Somebody getting what they need, and so, you know, in some way, shape, or form. So tell us about Sia. Like, I just pulled the cat out of the bag about Liberia, but tell us about Sia. Tell us about you coming to the U.S. from Liberia. Just who is Sia?
You're already taking it there.
Yes.
Okay. Sia is a good troublemaker. Hey, I'm going to be the first one to say it. And I can say that confidently now, simply because I've matured into my calling and my purpose. Because we live in a world that, as you're growing and finding yourself, you know you are different, but society and culture doesn't help you accept that uniqueness of yourself. Oof. So people come up with different words, like you're difficult to deal with, you're aggressive, you're hard-headed, you're stubborn. But all those words, I come to realize, is because they wasn't built for you. They will not understand you. Some will understand you in due time. Some will never understand you. But most importantly, you have to stay focused to the purpose. So Sia, I'm an activist, a mother, a wife. But above all, I like to just be Sia. Because if I am not me, I cannot fulfill any of those other roles. So I always tell people, before you call me Miss Stevens, call me Sia first, because I was Sia before I became somebody's mother. I was Sia before I became somebody's wife. I was Sia before I became a nonprofit owner. So I try to remind people, keep it on me. Don't get me caught up in my different hats I wear, because I want to be me. Sia hates injustice. Hate is a strong word, but I think at some point we have to be comfortable using the proper terminology to describe how we truly feel. and stop sugarcoating. It's so much hate in the world, so much injustice, so much anger, as we were speaking of earlier, and all is man-made. I know we are all I know we all fell from grace, but it's almost getting to the point where it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, people are becoming a little bit too heartless by the day. So, yeah, that's it. If you're doing what you got to do, you see us, as you said, we have that healthy disconnection, healthy connection. When we meet, it's like we never skip a beat. And I think most of us having grown to that level of maturity, because we all going to dislike a thing or two about a person, but where does that maturity comes from to say, okay, this person, in spite of this, I choose you. And now I'm to the point where I'm intentionally choosing my people. I've always been the one who wanted to choose everybody. Unfortunately, in life, you cannot choose everybody. So you have to focus on those that you are choosing or have chosen and invest in them, meaning giving them the flowers while they can smell the fragrance. And that's where I'm at. So let's continue that relationship, sis.
Yeah. See, already over here dropping gems.
I'm sorry.
Oh, people gonna be like, yo, I see why they friends now, because all Ashley do is talk, and now look at this friend she got too. Like, but it's I laugh because it's, you never know when, like, even in the disconnect, we're right in the same space and don't even know it sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, I'm in a space where I'm not giving my energy to everybody. I don't have it. Like, I can't do the things that I used to do because I was depleted, right? And it may not have been me giving money. I mean, even the times when I have, it's like, okay, like, the energy, I'm just giving it all. You know what I'm saying? But it's, I'm in that same space where it's like, I just want to be intentional with the people who are intentional with me. Matters. I want to focus on where the love is actually coming from, mm-hmm. not where I want it to come from.
Oof. Okay.
Right? Because that means, and like when we talk, like you said, set that standard, right? That means family, that means friends, that means like how I do my work, that means what kind of clientele I come in, that means, anybody associated, like any and every, like, jobs, it means opportunities,
everything. Yes,
everything. Mm-hmm. Because what I've realized is when we don't heal certain parts of ourselves, we start looking for that attachment in other things, not just people, but like other mm-hmm. things, right? So it's like the scarcity of the energy or the people or the things or the opportunities, or like nothing's ever going to be enough for me. I love that. She said, call me Sia, y'all. Don't you call me Miss Stevens. Don't you call me so-and-so's mother. Don't you call me.
You already know how I go about the kids. I love my kids now. Let me make that clear. I love my babies. But I was mean first. Because I hate sometimes, I should say, I strongly dislike sometimes how people get lost in other people's image.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's like you related to this person. So now we strip you of your own identity. You have to be identified with this person in order for you to be heard or for you to be helped or for you to even be acknowledged. Yeah. And I don't want my kids to have to go through that because I don't want to go through it.
Right.
So I tell them all the time, be where you want to be. I can support and guide you in making certain decisions. Mm-hmm. But I don't do certain things because I'm doing it. That's what I like to do. So in a way, I'm big on individuality and community. Depends. It's all about mm-hmm. the context of what is going on and stuff like that. Then yeah. that's where I weigh heavy on one side over the other. But mm-hmm. either way, it's all about humanity.
Yeah. I don't think you can have community without individuality. Right.
People understand that part.
Because then if we have to keep them separate, then it's a cult. Right. It's not community, it's a cult. Like, that means everybody has to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's militant. It's everybody's got to look the same, dress the same, wear the same thing, like all of that, right? So in terms of identity, right, we've already kind of dipped into you being from Liberia. How does that play a part in your identity and even being in the U.S. as a Liberian woman?
Ooh, that's a good one. That both plays a big role in my life. Mm-hmm. Being born Liberian, raised for the first 13 years in Liberia, and then I went to the Ivory Coast, lived there for 2 years, which is a bordering country to Liberia. And then I came to the U.S. by age 15. So when I really look at my short, long life so far, mm-hmm. it's been mm-hmm. an equal part.
I understood that.
So I've been in the U.S. a little longer than I was in Liberia. However, why these two part really made me to be who they are, they both equally contributed to me being me. So Liberia first. Liberia, we were raised on a communal culture. Like, it was yours, mine was mine. Which I think sometimes it's almost kind of like, it gives too much room to manipulation and entitlement. Mm. Yes. So that part of me, I do like. But as an individual, I have my standards where it stops. What I'm giving you and what I'm sharing with you. My success is not your success as much as my struggle is not your struggle.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes people really feel entitled to the point, oh, you made it. I don't have to do this. And no, I made it. Mm-hmm. You didn't make it. So you can't just tell me you mind this, you mind that, and now you're entitled to it. So I do appreciate.
Because where was you when I was shooting in the gym?
Right. They don't see that part. They just see, right. Oh, now you're my sister, you mind this. No, we don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe in really giving anything free personally. Earn it, whether it's through your energy, the comfort you give me, the secret space you create for me. Because I think when I tell people to earn things, they feel like, oh, who are you? Or what you mean, earn it? It's how I feel when I'm around you. That's yeah. how you earn access to me. Mm. You know? Mm. And I think people take that for granted. The energy you give me while I'm in your presence, that's how you earn access to me. That's how you earn access to what I have earned, yeah. you know? And people don't want to do any of those. It's just straight up give me. So being born and raised in Liberia, I also feel God doesn't make mistakes. I was born in Liberia for a purpose, to serve a purpose. And I had to stay there at least at an age enough to understand and have enough memory of the culture. Mm. But he took me out in time to have something to hold on to. And as I migrated to the U.S., I already had a foundation of my purpose. I think if I would have came too young, much older, I don't think I would have developed the way I am right now, of who I am.
Yeah.
Because all my trouble I got in as a little girl was for my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been outspoken. Mm-hmm. And one of my vivid memory of that is my mother, God bless her soul. She was in some kind of argument with the lady in the yard. Like how here you call your neighbors the next mm-hmm. door. Yeah, we just called it the yard. So mm-hmm. she had a problem with the other lady. And I didn't know, because I look at it like, that's your problem, not mine. So I will talk to whoever talked to me, but she obviously took offense to it. And mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly what age I was, but I remember she hit me with like a stick on my face. And I know my jawbone was broken because I felt a shift. But every time when I think of those memories and some of the things I experienced, just 13 years of my life in Liberia, and let's say from 5 years, I remember some stuff up to then. So that's about 8 years of memory,
yeah.
right? But it was enough to plant a seed of purpose, mm-hmm. you know? And then when I look at the same very face without health care or even having family with money or whatever, and my face is perfectly fine, mm-hmm. all of that, I'm like, okay, he knew what he was doing. Coming to the U.S. gave me the opportunity to use my voice. Because if I was going to stay in Liberia, I don't think it would have been as possible as I can do it here.
Yeah.
And so I came from a family, an indigenous family. So in Liberia, when you come from an indigenous family, it's almost impossible to get a life outside of Liberia. Because Liberia almost run on the whole system as racism did in the 50s, 60s, masters mm-hmm. versus slaves. Mm-hmm. So if you're educated and all of that, neither one of my parents really went to school.
Mm-hmm.
So to have that opportunity to come here with my foster family is definitely God's doing.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't take being in the U.S. for granted. I don't take it lightly because I know he saved me. So I always look at it as when Moses' mother put him on the river in a basket while all the Hebrew boys were being killed. So mm-hmm. God used that to get me out of there. And that's why I continue to speak. Because in Liberia, I mean, as a little kid, they fed me cayenne pepper. So I wouldn't speak. Yeah. When I see stuff, I was being trained to be quiet, but it was a fire that just wouldn't shut. You know, it just couldn't die. So if I see it, I'm going to say it. If you hearing me or not, I think I was fed cayenne pepper probably 2 or 3 times in my childhood. And I mean, a spoonful of pepper. That was my punishment for saying, quote unquote, what was supposed to be a secret or this person wasn't. And you know me, Ash, ain't nothing secret here. So coming to
they messed up giving you cayenne peppers. Yeah. So I'm turning this into fuel. What's wrong with y'all?
Brutal. The punishments are almost like get the message. So mm-hmm. I think that was my escape to come to the U.S. for my voice to be amplified for what is truly happening in the culture. And people know something is wrong with it, but it's almost like an embedded system that no one is willing to challenge, because it's almost like if you're not in the position to challenge it, you better not open your mouth. So, so that's how those two play a role in my life. America raised me to be the woman and gave me my voice. And Liberia birthed me into trauma that long existed before me, but I have been shared a piece of that burden as my purpose. Yeah. And I have to carry that on. So that's two play.
Yeah, that's whew, that's yeah.
I'm sorry, I
Yeah.
gave you too much.
Don't be, don't, please, don't come here and be sorry. It's the wrong place to be sorry. Just I mean it that, like, how magical is the only word that I can come up with, that you were fed cayenne pepper to be silent, and literally, I mean, just from the time that I've known you, everything you've done has been to speak out. Everything you've done has been to speak out. I remember even, like, during COVID, after George Floyd died, you was like, "Ashley, can you come help me with this speech?" I was like, "Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it." I said, "I'm gonna hang out in the back if you need me." Like, but just the power. See, you are very powerful.
Thank you, sis.
You are very powerful. And something that I noticed in just what you were sharing, I said this to Jez the other day, that sometimes adults see the power that God has imparted on children, and because they haven't found their own power, they haven't tapped into their own sense of self, they haven't tapped into their God-given gifts, will do everything in their own power, which is ego. It's not even real power, it's ego, to stop that child. To do whatever they need to make sure that child doesn't reach their divinity, their full sense of self and identity and their true God power, right? Not ego power. And I think that, like, man, as bad as it was, they gave you cayenne pepper. It's also
Girl.
like, but it's cayenne pepper, right? It's like the most. I'm thinking about the heat.
Girl, I thought I was going to die. My stomach. And the crazy thing about it, like you talking about instant diarrhea, but
Ugh.
diarrhea with a cramp that you might not ever feel in this world. You know how even people who don't have much tolerance for a spice and you eat it, you feel your stomach already. So picture you being fed cayenne pepper intentionally, you know? And I mean just a spoon with a dust of pepper for you to be fed.
Yeah.
And like you said, what you had told Jazz. So that is one or the other. Adults either intimidated by the anointing on a child, or and this one is the mean part, the enemy see your future. So I heard this from a pastor years ago. So God gave the enemy the ability to see your future. The only thing, he doesn't know how you would get there. So
Woo!
it's almost like he keep throwing marbles your way, and those marbles could even be the person who birthed you, the people who's supposed to be responsible to take care of you, because he see your future. It's all about stopping you from getting there,
Yeah.
because he don't know how you're gonna get there, who's gonna come. So it's kind of like a constant attack, like, oh, and it's all about learning how to roll forward on marbles.
Literally, right? And you rolled right onto the Americas. You rolled right onto the Americas.
You roll the op you put your feet in the direction you want to go and let the marble follow you there.
Right. I just, like, when you said that, I instantly thought about, like, a mudslide, right? Where it's like you walk and all of a sudden you slip, but it's getting you, right? The adversity. Ooh. Ooh. The adversity will get you sometimes to where God is trying to get you a lot quicker. I just got chills running through my body. The adversity will get you sometimes quicker to where God is trying to get you than you trying to avoid it. Sometimes you just have to, like, things just have to happen.
They have to.
They just have to happen.
But that's how God
And
is glory.
yes, and I think the challenge is in our human self, we want to understand the why in that present moment. And it's like, well, why can't you just be present in it? Right? I mean, and this is like, as the older we get, the more we understand life, right? Not talking about a kid getting hit in the face or, you know, the cayenne pepper, but it's understanding that, and I've said this before, it's understanding that adversity is not always meant to harm us, right? Mm-hmm. You can, like the, I'm thinking about the furnace, the boys in the furnace. I'm so far gone.
Check this out though. Adversity is almost like your morning sickness during pregnancy.
Yes.
You know, it's not the most pleasant feeling, right? Because I always tell people, and sometimes I just know things, don't know how I know it, don't know why I know it. Yeah. And sometimes it make you come off as the, Miss Know-It-All, which is not the most pleasant feeling either. Mm-hmm. So adversity is that morning sickness, that cramp, that throwing up, because you're carrying a child. And what people have to understand, somebody can go to school and learn about something. Yeah. Somebody can experience something. However, it could be the person who went to school, let's say, for example, learn about childbirth. Experiencing childbirth is totally two different things, right? Somebody can adopt a child, still two different things, right? But all of these have their own perks and they have their own downside.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the bigger picture, a mother who experienced childbirth can always connect to another mother than someone who just read a book about childbirth.
Yeah.
Because I can't understand you before you even say certain things. Mm-hmm. Versus someone who read the book, I got to consult page 27. How you say you're feeling again? Okay, let's see what it said. But I could come to you and be like, oh my gosh, my back hurt. And you can already start throwing options out there. So that's what our adversities actually becomes to us. Once we start to walk our purpose, then we become that person now who can give another person guidance, support. Oh, you say you're feeling this way? Maybe because of this. So it doesn't go in vain. It's just about how we understand it and go from there. But I have a total different view about adversity now. And as you said, when you mature, it's like, why did I know this before I was going crazy?
Right. And that drives me to even just the point when we were working on Victors in Christ. Mm-hmm. I think at that time, I just really sitting with a lot of like victimhood personally, right? Mm-hmm. And we share a lot of similar stories in that space in terms of abuse. When you told me why you were naming it Victors in Christ, and I mentioned this on another episode that like I was working with a friend and, you know, she named her business Victors in Christ. And I was just like, oh, I just was kind of like, oh, well, that makes sense. Right? Because when you're trying to, or even if you aren't trying to understand adversity, you've made it your identity. You can stay in a victim place for a very long time, yes. Right? So just thinking about what you've shared thus far, just from living in Liberia and then migrating here to the US, because the migration part, that's a story in itself, I'm sure. Like, whatever they tell us in the textbooks, I'm pretty sure it's 100 times worse, like, in real time. Not these days, And you know what I'm saying? Like I'm pretty like just moving from one state to another is a lot. So to move from one country to another, right? What was it that made that shift for you to move from victim to victor?
The crazy thing is, I never saw myself as a victim, even though I still display symptoms and characteristics of a victim. But in my head, I never saw myself as a victim. So I say that to say, even while I was contemplating suicide, I never came out of an episode and like, oh, let me go balled up and cry. So I guess you could say, what you call it? Functional, what's the term? Help me out here.
It there, I mean, let's pick one.
I
There's
was
like,
functioning with my trauma as I was going, and then when it's triggered, it's a bad episode. But then, yeah, so I was in that place. Like I never truly sat and looked at myself as a victim. Because the weird thing about me, I don't know if this is weird or not. I feel whatever happened can be flipped on the other side. So, like I was telling Taj for the audience, my husband, whatever our situation is, we're always in the middle of worse or better. No matter how bad you think your situation is, there's another level for it to be better or for it to be worse. So whatever your situation is, you're always in the middle of that place. So maybe with that mentality, I really didn't see myself in that space of a victim. I'm always like, oh, okay, that's available. I could go get it. So coming here, my foster sister has signed me out of high school. And this is something too that happens in the Liberian homes. It's all a mental game. Again, as I spoke about that whole slavery mindset, it's still happening, but it's so deeply embedded in the culture that I think at this point they don't even realize that they are operating on the slavery master mentality. So when they bring you here, they do stuff like that to intimidate you. Like I was even threatened to be sent back home if I don't stop talking and all these things. And then the sign out of high school after my 10th grade year, so I didn't get the opportunity to finish high school, not by my choice, but somebody who's trying to hold me back. And I remember one time I was in the bathroom and I heard my foster family talking in the kitchen, how I'm just gonna be somebody's baby moms. And I'm not going to finish school, but this was my life that was being talked about. Like, yeah, but they didn't know I was home. So when I came back, oh, why you didn't say you was here? So I heard them talking about Job Corps because that's what they wanted to send me, or at least that's what they pretended. That's what they pretended they wanted to send me. So when we got to that part, when they signed me out of school, again, instead of me balling up and folding up, like, oh, what y'all need me to do now? I'm scared. What did your sister do? I went downtown Trenton. I went and signed up for Job Corps. They didn't even know what the hell I was doing at the time. But anyway, I went to
But
the
they
home.
planted that seed. They
Listen.
planted that seed.
And like, I just never feel like I could be too stuck and not find my way out. So I went in the office and they're like, because I was. Probably it was a few months before my 18th birthday, so I didn't know this whole age thing. And when I got there, they're like, oh, you need a parental signature. I said, I'm homeless. So technically I was, because my foster sister at the time, her husband wanted to sleep with me, and I told him no. And she told me, quote unquote, if you don't respect him, you would have to leave the house, right?
Looks like I'm leaving, guys.
Exactly, right? And if you do that, That's technically me becoming homeless. But again, I never had the mindset of facing, oh, I'm about to be homeless and panic. Like, yeah. What am I doing next? So I sorted out job call for shelter, right? And that was my next shelter. Because through all my stuff and carrying baggage, trauma, everything, sometimes I used to wonder, I'm like, why God didn't get me involved in the streets? But then again, that wouldn't have been a good thing, because even now, being on the good side, I know how much energy I put into it. I know how much power I put into it, right? Yeah. And I'm that person, if I'm going to do it, I got to win at it. So being on that side of the road is not a good place to be, because then don't cross my path the wrong way. We're not going to have a problem, you know? Mm-hmm. So God intentionally protected me from street life, because every door that I could use was open.
Yeah.
Every door, homelessness, being in a country that I don't know and having to live on my own in as little as 2 years, that alone would be like, oh, let me hang out with this friend. Let me hang out with that friend. But none of that happened. So now when I look back on all of that, I'm like, oh, he protected me, because I could have got caught up in everything. But as far as the victim mindset, I always saw it like, if I want to do that, I'm going to do it. If there's a will, there's a way kind of a thing. So I'm not saying I wasn't a victim, but that whole thing of sitting and pitying myself or blaming somebody, I would talk about what somebody did to me, but it's not going to stop me from making my next move.
Yeah.
You know? And, or it's not going to make me to do something to somebody because somebody did that to me. You know? So I never really operated on that mindset. So I don't know if that makes sense, but
definitely, yeah.
So thinking of victors, I'm like, oh, and the funny thing is, I was just thinking about the name in my head while I was doing some work about victors in Christ. That word I actually heard from my foster brother's wife. The first time I heard that word from her, it was when I was going through my trauma. And of all these years, actions like that, like we was having a conversation in the same place, you know, because it was, I think it was right after I had either one of my episodes or we was talking, it was either when I was still talking to them about being abused by one of the family member and stuff like that. And it, you know, they're trying to talk you out of it, tell you all the godly stuff. And she like, oh, Sia, you're a victor. You're not a victim. But for some reason, it's like that word was instantly ingrained in my head.
Yeah.
You know? And literally, that's where victors in Christ came from somebody who protected what I wasn't supposed to speak of, but they birthed the name Victors in Christ for me without me knowing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rich, because sometimes we don't pay attention to the seeds that are being planted, but there's always a seed that gets planted that... So technology was being technology, and we got a little disconnected in the conversation because of the platform that we were using. But here we are back into the conversation. So nice big inhale and exhale. Beautiful. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful conversation with my sister. That's rich, because at some point, like there's two seeds that you talked about being planted, and both of them were seeds of protection, right? Well, one was a seed of protection. The other one was a seed out of protection.
Amen.
Right. So, so Job Corps was the seed to get you out of the house so that the abuse didn't either continue or start or begin or happen or whatever, right? That's a protection.
Oh, yes.
And then hearing the word victor, even though, and correct me if I'm wrong, even though it came from a place where you were protected, but something you were trying to release was being told
to be suppressed,
right? So even still, right? Man, this is deep, because sometimes people don't realize that suppressing is also a form of trauma.
Yes.
Just because you're suppressing it doesn't mean that you're healing it. It doesn't mean that you're acknowledging it. It actually means that you are aware of what's happening and you're choosing to ignore it or to do anything about it.
No, go back to that part. Choosing to ignore it. Not
choosing,
but most people,
right,
choose to ignore it.
Right, right. So even in the suppression, a seed was still formed. And I like, and as you were talking, I'm such a visionary. As you were talking, all I kept seeing, I saw two different seeds. I saw an implantation seed,
mm-hmm,
which is Victor's. And then I saw a seed being planted into the ground, and literally seeing it be planted and then it starts sprouting,
mm-hmm,
which is the family that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
From the seed that was planted for protection, and then the seed that was planted, implanted because of suppression. Man, this is wild. My thoughts right now are just...
Slow down, Ash. Slow down. But you know what? Check this out. The person who gave me that name back in Liberia, her husband now is the one who fed me my first spoon of pepper. So she was talking to me, it would, you know how somebody advising you, but they're advising you to step back and not, mm-hmm, to continue to move forward? That's, mm-hmm, where her advice was coming from. Right? Mm-hmm. So now this time it was a verbal and spiritual cayenne pepper instead of the physical. Right?
Mm.
So, and even what you are doing now, right, having people coming to speak up, you got to understand the weight you carry in the spiritual realm to even creating a platform. Because for every time we speak against what the enemy is doing and how he attacked people, we are educating people, both literally and spiritually.
Yeah.
Oof. And somebody could hear something you would say, and then that's, you know how you're listening to a podcast or a sermon or something? It could just be a word or two. The rest of the sermon don't matter. It was literally that word or two, or just that full sentence that was intentionally for you, and you have a whole lifetime of message to go with it. And that's what happens when a person like you create platforms for a person like me and many other people to come and speak on certain things. So it's almost like, oh. So even now, when you look at your own personal trauma and stuff you have experienced, it's because also marbles have to be thrown your way for sitting in that chair creating a platform. Because you creating a space to say, here, come on, let me turn up the volume. And the volume is never supposed to be turned on in the first place, let alone turn it up. And here you are. So why are we going to support you to get there? Oh, no, 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 no. We got to make sure we drag you down too before we even get. Because if you don't create that platform, I wouldn't be able to sit here, right? So it's all a spiritual teamwork that's going on. And the enemy has to stay busy. So he's not just coming after you, me, it's whoever behind the microphone, whoever writing these scripts, whoever gonna, you know, just mm-hmm. anybody who's going for the betterment of humanity.
Mm.
Woo! Sorry.
No, keep it coming. Because this is exactly why I created this, right? This is exactly why stories are medicine.
I can hear you. Let me just see. She up there. I can hear you, Ash.
Oh, this is exactly why stories are. To me, stories are medicine, because even in my MPH, right. Being in this program has really made me drive home everything together in terms of why I enjoy storytelling, why I enjoy these deep, rich conversations with people, why I enjoy the humanity of the trials and the tribulations and the joys that people go through. Why I enjoy the aspects of, I don't want to call it public service work, but organizations and the causes behind them, all of that, because every single story, every single piece of adversity is leading to two different things: the healing for somebody else, and the freeing and the releasing and the healing of the person. So when we talk about like healing trauma and planting the seed and all of those things, we're talking about being intentional about timing. We're talking about being intentional about healing. We're talking about being intentional, because I don't know if this is a real conversation. Do you think you would have been ready to tell your story in this way before now?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was ready to tell my story, but it would have came off with anger, hate, and pursuit of getting even.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than helping someone else heal.
Mm-hmm. That's honest.
Yeah.
That's honest. And
yeah, so that's the yes and no right there. So yes, yeah. I was ready to tell, but no, it would have been from a place of hate, and my message would have been more, how can you get even? You don't deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Subliminally sending messages of hate.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't fully understand that we have to wait for the mature level. Because it's almost like if you plant a fruit, you can't just go pick the fruit off the tree when it just starts to bud out, you know? You have to wait. Yeah. Like growing back home in a tropical weather where you see fruit literally from seed form to fullness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of that matters. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes we have so much in us, and then our culture and society today not helping everybody want to be a public speaker or a healer. Spiritual leaders, something. Mm-hmm. Nobody is regular anymore. Nobody is ordinary.
It's so true, though.
Everybody is something these days, you know?
Yeah.
And we have so many mixed messages. Even sometimes when you listen to how women were talking about relationship, you know, oh, he shouldn't do this, he shouldn't do that. And no, that's because you haven't healed, but you can't wait. And I think if I would have done that, that would have been my message. Mm-hmm. And you think you preach a message of power, empowerment, but you actually just as toxic as your trauma.
Mm. Mm. Timing.
Exactly. So it's all about timing and being patient with the timing. That's what one of my favorite chapter in the Bible is, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Mm-hmm. So even when I'm in a hard time, I recite those chapters in my head, because it reminds you there's time to come together and there's time to separate. So I should be right now in my isolation. There's time to build, there's time to break down. There's time to be born, there's time to die. And I'm telling you, and that again, back to the question about being a victim, these are the things that go through my head whenever I'm faced with something that I feel is beyond me, a scripture gonna come for reference.
Yeah.
So even if you see me, you can see trauma all over me, I'm acting out of control, but in my head, I'm still fine.
Yeah.
I'm doing good. I don't see anything here we should be having a pity party about. I'm gonna tell you what I'm going through, but I'm fine. But you sitting with me, you might see the actions of crumbs that I'm leaving behind, you know? But in my head, oh, I cleaned that up. What are you talking about? Yeah, so it's kind of like that. And it would have been a yes and no.
Do you think, because you started Victors in Christ, when did we get the birth certificate?
I started in like 2015. Mm-hmm. But I think we got the, wasn't it during COVID?
I think it was a little bit before COVID.
Yeah, I think I received it in the midst of COVID.
Yeah, it was somewhere around that.
2019.
That 2018, 2019, somewhere 2020, somewhere around that time. So looking at your current, most recent trip to Liberia, where you are now with Victors in Christ, you had to, like, because of what your goal is for Victors in Christ, which is really geared towards Liberia, you had to step foot back in Liberia in order to get Victors in Christ going. In between, so looking at everything that we've just talked about in terms of like trauma and healing, the seeds being planted, right? All these, the breadcrumbs of like, you knowing that this is what you're supposed to do, but there's also, I don't want to say hindrances, but like, there's always like those little nuances of self that we need to work on, that we need to heal, that we need to remove. I don't know if remove is even the right word, but process, work through. Because like you said, timing is everything with maturity and what message you are delivering, right? Because you can name it Victors in Christ all day, but if the message is I'm still a victim, you're a victim, we're all a victim, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know if this something's not matching here. What's happening?
Definition of victors, but I hear victims screaming.
Right, like the name, the naming is the matching, right? Because what people don't understand is, and I can now look back and say, ooh, I fell victim to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you are moving in entrepreneurial territory, it is going to be what makes you look at you and heal.
Yes.
Because God is not going to continue to allow people to serve a higher calling that He has placed in them and still impart their own unhealed trauma and disruptive ego into them. That is the actual opposite of what entrepreneurship is, right? So the walk of being an entrepreneur is not this overnight celebrity thing that people think
it
is.
Sure?
Girl, like it is. I mean, some days it feels like the Lord's work, and the other days it feels like the devil's work. I just don't know sometimes.
Sure.
Listen, because there's days where I'm just like, hey, God, we need to talk. Like, I don't know. You sure
Meet
about
me in
this?
the office.
Meet me in my office, not yours, because there's something in yours that is not making this work right.
Excuse me. Yeah.
But there's like it is going to make you, it is going to be your therapist, it is going to be your relationship coach, it is going to be the man and the man or woman in the mirror. It is going to make you look at, am I the person that I say I am to do the thing that I know I'm supposed to do to serve the people in the way that I'm supposed to serve them? And if the common denominator is not to meet the needs of people that bring healing, then there's a self-check that needs to be had. So that's why, like, patience is such a virtue in anything that you're built. Right, I'm still working on it. And people be like, you're so patient. I'm like, are you sure? It's such a virtue in this dance because, I mean, just as quick as time moves from when we were sitting at Starbucks and doing the paperwork to get your EIN and all the things to now, like, and moving through our things, right? I'm healing, you're doing your thing, and you popping out another baby, and like all the things, I'm getting jazzed back, like whatever our things are. And to see you land in Liberia and to now hear that you've started, put like you've placed the seed of
Yes.
Victors in Christ in Liberia.
Yes. Actually, tomorrow my kids have tutoring.
My point exactly, right?
Yep.
So it's what do you think shifted for you, Sia, the person, for that trip to happen and for Victors in Christ to now be planted in Liberia?
Oh, well, shifted. If anything, I think it was more of a delay. I think I should have done this already. However, God's timing is always the best. So sometimes I do think of it, I'm like, wow, I could have started at this time or that time. So sometimes I do feel that it is delayed. But then I don't regret where we are either, because again, growth. So with Victors in Christ being in Liberia now, implanted, like in solid seed form, it's like a part of the vision that I've been living in my head over and over. And the crazy thing about it, maybe I never got too attached to my trauma for some weird reason. I never felt directly connected to it. I saw it more like an experience. You know how you go to school from one grade to the next, and your only purpose of being in school is education experience, right? And then you leave school and you go into a whole nother field and doing, now it's your time, what you want to do with all the information you collected. So even when I do share my story, even when I was in the midst of my anger, it felt like I was angry for somebody. You know, like I want justice for somebody. I never felt directly impacted, even though it was me that things happened to. But for some weird reason, I always felt I was placed to experience. So when I do start this journey, I know what I'm standing for. You know, because I think sometimes, you know how people start something and it kind of shift away, or for whatever reason, it starts something else. I think God chose, like, he would choose certain people and let you go through these different traumas, adversities, and all that. It's not necessary for you to feel it, but it's for you to birth that baby and protect it with your heart, you know, versus someone who, oh yeah, I saw the baby crying down the street. If that baby not your baby, that cry sounds different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, a mother hear her baby cry.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different sound versus when a stranger hears a baby cry.
Yeah.
So that's how I see victors in Christ. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not just sharing this experience because I heard somebody's story and, oh my gosh, I think God put me through it because we have so much corruption. People monetize off of other people's pain. And I think God's trying to do something new for the nation.
Yeah.
So if you're going to come to this table, if I'm calling you to this table, I want you to know what you're speaking for. I want you to know what you're fighting for. Because, and no shade, but that's almost like a white ally trying to truly explain a Black person day-to-day challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It can never be 100.
Yeah.
Versus when you hear from the Black person, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like the same thing. I can't just see your struggle and be able to say it. So I had to, because even when I look at the abuse, the trauma, and all of that, I don't see it as a hurt person. I'm just like, why are you even doing this? Like, who told you you was okay to do this? You know, like I was in protective mode and not feeling like, oh my gosh, I got to be careful who I talk to. I got to be careful what I say, you know? So it's kind of like, so it's kind of like that. And just seeing those kids on camera and the joy, because right now we have 22 children and we have from, I think, age 5 or 7 is our youngest, up to age 12. But these kids, some of them are in school and some of them is their first time experiencing school-like atmosphere. You know, and seeing that, it fills my heart that we even able to do that. Like a kid can actually say, oh, I know my ABC now with confidence. Can you imagine a 12-year-old just learning ABCs, you know?
Yeah.
And people don't see nothing wrong with that because in the future, I can boss this adult around now and you have no choice but to do what I say because I know how to read, I know how to write. And I can even give you your will, your death wish to sign. You gonna give me the okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's almost being done partially intentionally.
Yeah.
For all of this to happen. So having that seed planted in Liberia, man, I'm ready to roll.
Oh, this is exciting.
I'm ready to roll, just looking at them and talking to them. They be doing, they send me videos. And, you know, just being able to do that for someone.
Yeah.
And I don't like to take credit. And that's something I got to get over. But I don't like the spotlight on me. So the whole thing, like, it's not me.
And listen, like, you're the only Leo that I know that is like, get the spotlight off of me. Like, that is not, I know you're not into astrology, but let me tell you, some of these Leos that I know, they're just like, yes, shower me, put the spotlight on me. And this one here is just like, nope, take it off of me. But there's something special about knowing that you can, excuse my mouth, pop your shit and you don't. Like, one of my girlfriends tell me all the time, I think you need to stop being so humble. And it's like, I'm ready to stop. But then it's like, but that's not me. Like,
yeah. I said, like, you know what you're doing? I'm like, no, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing.
Like, there is a nuance to it to where I've started saying to myself, I will celebrate my wins. I will celebrate when I know I've overcome something that I haven't had anybody show me how to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because those are the things that I feel are more personal, that instead of me popping my shit for whatever, right? Instead of me doing it that way, it's like, oh, now how do I put this in a form to where I can teach this to many people?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You're already doing it.
I'm trying. And sometimes, but you know what, Sierra? I'm in this place and I'm just waiting for God to bring up the money.
You have to understand, you're building your currency.
Yes, you must be in my head, because I was saying, so that thought hit me today and was just like, Ash, you're building your money right now. Like,
yeah,
everything you're doing, you're building your money. But mm-hmm. I'm in a space where I've never been so relaxed. I've never been so rested. I've never been so sure. I've never been so in joy of what I'm doing. And seeing that it's not only helping other people, but it's lighting some kind of path for somebody mm-hmm. else to be able to say, I can do this too.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that I enjoy the things that I do makes it easier to do them. And it makes it easier for me to say no to other things. And it makes it easier for me to ignore other people's opinions mm-hmm. about what I should be doing. Because even if I'm questioning it, God is sending me something to remind me, no, you're on the right mm-hmm. path. I got you covered. You're protected. Right? Wow. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to see what Victors in Christ does. I can't wait to go to Liberia.
Hey, stand by, because they're going to need all the stretching and catch on. Yeah, because most of the kids, you can already tell, they already have their own form of trauma sitting in just the country they were born in, unfortunately, yeah. Right? And then if your family don't have money, it's almost like society don't know who you are. You don't exist. Mm. So like you almost kind of strip of your dignity, your pride and everything, because now you just whatever. So yeah. Just having those traumas within itself, then add-ons from whoever in the house or how they are disciplined and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. So we're going to need just about every single profession mm-hmm. you can count on. Victors in Christ going to need it. But we're going to start slowly but surely. But counseling and self-care is our priority.
Yeah.
Because I come from a culture in Liberia where self-esteem is not built. And again, I think it almost comes from trying to destroy a person before they even acknowledge who they are. Because you got people, like a mother would look at her own child and be like, oh, you're ugly, like your father. Like, and these are common way people talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it almost like Liberians call each other ugly. Like, it's just, at this point, it's just whatever, you know? But I know deep down inside, they're sick with that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So our culture doesn't boost self-esteem. No, they don't. So the goal for Victors in Christ is for every person that go through our program is to come up standing strong and believing that they can contribute to the change for society, to society. You know, and they should feel confident enough, and we should already have done the work to empower them to be able to stay on their own two feet and be like, okay, my voice can be heard. And that's our overall goal, for every child that leave us, or just the family that experience our work in general, mm-hmm. should feel like, oh, I'm not just living here. I'm a person. You talk to me this way. You treat me this way. Because I don't want to make my culture sound bad, because we are one of the most hospitable people that I know. Mm-hmm. But I just can't wrap my head around how we are so hospitable, but we are so abusive. Mm. Emotionally abusive. Mm. You know? It's almost like you are wrapped in kindness, but in that cocoon of kindness, that's where all the abuse happens.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know if that makes sense. That's something to be visualized, you know? Like, and that's what my culture almost kind of looked like.
You're fighting a system. You're fighting a system that is that is so embedded in generations. We're circling back to how we started this conversation, where you mentioned the slavery, right? So it's I'm gonna present myself in a way that is going to be nice and kind and hospitable and give you what you need, but I'm angry. I'm angry, and I don't know how to speak on this anger or heal it, right? Or even be able to say, we come back to the cayenne pepper, you can't say anything. You can't speak on how you feel because you're a slave, essentially.
You said it right there. And the crazy thing about it is, when you just look at it, the whole picture, okay, you're gonna edit this part and make it sound nice, because I don't know how to make this sound nice.
Just say it. We raw over here.
When you ready, look at the whole picture, right? As you just said, it all boils down to someone feeling that they are someone's master, right? From the get-go, and I think that's why Victors in Christ was delayed, because I knew I wasn't just going after one person. It's a system. You're talking about ancestry. You know? So we're not just talking about one person here or just this tribe. No. You going back to roots. So picture a giant tree, and you talking about you digging through the dirt to see where each root went and how long. That's just a whole nother story to tell.
Yeah.
Right? So I think God already made me aware of that. But I think the delay was for me to settle how I'm going to start digging. You know?
You got to be careful how you dig and where you dig.
Exactly.
Because there's time bombs everywhere. Just as easy as it is to plant a seed, it's also easy to plant a bomb.
Exactly. Because you could be chopping in one area. And if you chop in that area too long, yes, you will see the roots detaching. But the tree might not be supported. On the other side, you might be in the wrong spot. And that tree can come right on you, and you will not get around to digging out the rest of the roots, right? So it's a very, you got to be very spiritually strategic. You know? Because we're not just dealing with
flesh and blood.
Yes. And this is when that whole scripture come in. Like, that's a demonic territory. Responsible for all these acts and actions. So it's almost like, okay, first, even me, sometimes I feel, and genuinely, I do feel like an outcast in the Liberian community here in the U.S. because it just takes one person or two to tap somebody, give them a little brief, and then all of a sudden I was laughing with you the next day. They're like, No, but I'm like, I'm cool. Why are you not talking to me. Mm-hmm. But it's, so that's another thing I had to be okay with. Mm-hmm. And then God had to let me know, you cannot be too familiar for the change that you got to bring. So it has to be to the point where when somebody hear my name or they hear Victors in Christ, you embrace yourself, not me embracing myself. Because mm-hmm. that's my identity. That's me right there. But then individually, I'm also over here, right? So when you speak to somebody from Victors in Christ, they tell you, oh, if you do this, this happened, that happened, whatever. But if you do this, this is what you earn and whatever, right? So our culture don't believe in that. You could, it's almost like here, a Black person can work 3 times harder and the reward go to somebody else. So it's almost yeah. like that back home. If you don't come from the right background. So our goal is to even start building relationships here, mm-hmm. right? Because if we start to build relationships here, then we can expand it. So in Liberia, we starting with the children first because their minds are still tender.
Yeah,
they are still willing vessels. So for the change that we want to see, and then you have here in this very country, you have Liberians still suppressing each other.
Because the system doesn't leave you unless you're ready to break yeah, free from it.
Just
because you left the land doesn't mean the system has, exactly. like you've deprogrammed from the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wow. they told me, if you don't do this, you will go back home. And who really wants to go back to Liberia, you know, with the country and the hardship? So they use that, and that's how they keep people wrapped in that kindness. But inside, you just got to take a look down. That yeah. little hole is where all the trauma happens. And our culture is so toxic to the point that speaking up is almost unheard of. Mm-hmm. People are more comfortable accepting what's happening. Then it almost like they know how to navigate through that life better than being free and healed. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost like somebody who like, oh, I've been in prison long enough, I might as well commit a crime to go back versus mm-hmm. being out here as a free person. And that's how the culture is back home. Why tell the truth? Why be straightforward? Why not be corrupt and all these different things? This is how I know to live. So when you set a system, girl, you gotta a system is an understatement. I don't know what we're up against here, but yeah.
But that's the we got to talk off air now, cuz yes. I can't spill all my beans, but it's like when I was listening to you talk, and we'll start wrapping up. When I was listening to you talk, but when I was listening to you talk, all I kept hearing was it's not the war isn't against flesh and blood, it's against principalities. So that's why I don't care how deep I get into like grad school and go from there, I'm so grateful that spiritually I am aware that everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Even the systems here in the US, it's all the spirit of people. Hate is a spirit, right? Our emotions are energy and motion, which means they are also like energy and spirit. It's all the same thing. It's all imparted into how you do stuff. So when you build your thing, your energy goes into it. That's why healing is so important as a business owner, entrepreneur, whatever you want to call yourself, a leader, period, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you think about the corruption of the land, right? Just like we said, you can plant a seed and plant a time bomb right next to each other.
Yes.
Man, We're gonna talk off air. I'm shifting a lot. Yeah, no. And God is very intentional.
Yes.
Very and very intentional. See, I'm excited for everything that you're doing. I understand the weight and the weight. I understand both versions of the weight. So, when God put the two women together that were pregnant together in the Bible, this is what he
Yes,
meant.
Mary and Elizabeth.
Yes, when he put Mary and Elizabeth together to carry their pregnancies out together, this is what he meant in purpose.
Yes.
I love you so much.
I love you too, sis. And thank you. Don't let nothing stop you from doing what you're doing, because the enemy don't want to see that relaxation. Because once you find your purpose and you are comfortable in doing it, he has to bring trauma, more trauma, chaos. It's like he sort you out specifically, because now you're thinking too much of what you can do to help. So we got to stir up your pot a bit. And I think as leaders, especially knowing God, right? We have to be able to be grounded in those moments, because it's all about distraction. We talk about political distraction, but the same thing happened in the spiritual world. What? Ashley doing this? Is she like it? Because you got to understand the things we like to do. It's like we're not working, it flows. But if you have a serious issue on your mind, whether it's your child, your personal life, or whatever, it's a blockage, you know? And that's why he comes. And if you notice, our battle tends to be more intense because it gotta be a firm blockage. It has to be some form of delay. Even if it don't stop us, it gotta cause some time to be lost. You know?
Oof.
Yeah, so it holds you back, but it's up to us now. Once we kick down that door, are we willing to do double the work? Even if we don't get caught up to where we supposed to be, but at least to be close enough before our next one. Because as long as you're on this path, there will always be something ahead of you. If
Absolutely.
one bucket of marble didn't do it the last time, we're gonna drop three. That muscle's got to be flexible now. And I think sometimes we kind of get carried with the publicity. And that's how you see sometimes people go up and they come down just like that. Because the devil, again, he sees what concerning to you. If your child concerning to you, that's what he's going to go for. You know, if it's somebody's marriage, somebody's family. He for us, it's very like it gotta be very intentional and spelled out to the T. You can't just go for anything about Ashley, because you go for friends, she able to get over that. You go for family, she can get. But how about we go for her living status? How about we go for her child? We gotta get her attention. Let's go for see her family. Let's go, you know? So it gotta be literally laid out. This is when it's not just circumstances. It's intentional. It's kind of like customized to us. You know, life throws stuff your way, but when you're a leader and spiritual leader too, your problems are customized. Because he ain't just gonna get you just to get you. He like I need you here, and then that's when he like no I'm not coming, and then that's when our fight continues. So I love you, Axis. You just keep doing what you're doing, because I mean we seen each other grow.
Yes, man. We can sit on here and talk for hours,
And drink coffee.
forever. and drink coffee. See, I love you, girl. You are welcome back anytime. If you are serious about the call, if you feel it on your heart, as a social worker, as a yoga teacher, as someone in the health space, anything, we're going to put information in the show notes for you to be able to connect. I don't know if C is gonna do it, but I'm gonna be vetting people.
No.
Because the mission is not for the faint or the weak at heart. And there's people that are needed that are ready to put boots on the ground and change the system, man, because that's where we are. What a time to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
What a time to be alive. So and we will be right back. I like when I tell you me and Sia could have sat and talked for hours recorded, and I know this because when we stopped recording we talked for maybe like another hour, but like even before we had to remember that we were on a time constraint, but that's how rich the relationship is. That's how rich the conversation always is. Which in turn, I was thinking about this today, purpose partners. Because when you are clear on your purpose, your calling, what you are designed, created, and cultivated to do on this earth, you move different. The conversations you have are different. The people that you are in relationship with, it like that number becomes smaller. But in some not weird way, in some beautiful way, even though the circle is smaller, the impact in the relationship and the dynamic of that relationship, the conversations, the things you share, the witnessing of the unfolding of, man, we talked about this one day and now look where it is. Like, I'm so grateful to be able to start recognizing that, and have those people in my orbit. Adversity can make you miss that, right? If we don't do the healing work from the things that we've endured, those scars will make us miss the identity of who we are, the identity of our calling, and the identity of the people that are supposed to be along the ride with us. Man, Sia is such a beautiful soul. She's been that way since I've met her. And it's beautiful to see the refinement of her. And just, I like literally can remember the conversations that we had about Victors in Christ. And to see it now planted in Monrovia, Liberia. I'm honored to have a front row seat. And that's another thing, y'all. Not everybody is... everybody should not have the privilege of watching you grow. They like some people can watch, but other people can't have the front row seat. Listen to that again. Everybody gets to watch, but not everybody gets the front row seat, because when you get the front row seat, you get a different perspective, you get a different view. But when you get to watch, you still have your own interpretation of things and all of that. I love y'all. I love y'all for rocking with me every week. There's more interviews coming. I love doing these. There might be some solo episodes too. But I really want to just keep doing the interviews. Yeah. I love you all for free. Until next time.